We're talking about spiritual depression today. Okay, disclaimer, as always, if you find yourself to be extremely depressed, probably more so than what we're talking about here, then you should reach out, get help. I can help you. Talk to me, talk to the pastors, even a doctor would be good. Now, let me give you some definitions so you know exactly what type of depression I'm talking about. Let me try to define the differences between anxiety and depression because I feel like they're related. Anxiety would be restlessness, being tense or worried about the future. Okay, so you can see that there's like a working up, right? There's kind of a like a bad type of excitement. Okay, but for depression, be low mood, loss of interest, guilt, or feeling that you want to die. Now, of course, there's different levels that you can look at this, right? Different spectrums that you can take this in. From a healthcare standpoint, professionally, as a nurse, right? From a nursing career, the question that you ask is, oh, well, do you have a plan to hurt yourself, right? Like, and then that's how you can really discern, right? If somebody is, how serious they are. If they don't have a plan, then okay. If they say, yeah, I do have a plan, good morning, then you should reach out on that, okay? So I do extend that to you, okay? I don't brush over this or take it lightly. The type of depression that we're going to talk about today from the Bible is spiritual depression, okay? And the reason why I need to talk about spiritual depression versus just like kind of like a more generic depression is because I need to show you what the Bible says, and I feel like the Bible talks about this spiritual depression a little bit more accurately. Next week, Tiff invited Nathan Wu, who is our like biblical counseling officer, and he's going to go into more, I guess, case studies of depression, and I feel that with those, you can be a little bit more accurate. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit more broadly because I need to teach you together from the Bible, so we're all on the same page. Okay, so that's why we're going to talk about this sort of depression, this type of spiritual depression. And when I talk about this, you can see that it's the same thing, right? Low mood, loss of interest, guilt, feeling you want to die, except I'm going to add right here, feeling far from God. So I think that's something that maybe all of us can more relate to, right? Whereas sometimes you might have different types of depression because we all live different lives, but maybe something that we can all relate to a little bit more is the fact of feeling far from God. I can tell you examples from my life. I felt far from God multiple times in my life. One time I felt far from God was in high school when I was honestly just doing band stuff. Okay, doing band stuff. I was unable to come to church on Friday nights. And I think that at one point, yeah, I did feel far from God. I did. I think that being closer to my school friends more than my church friends hurt me spiritually. I think it did. I don't know if that was necessarily spiritual depression, but I can honestly say that, yeah, I felt far from God during that time. I think I felt a little bit of guilt about that. I didn't feel like I wanted to die, but I can honestly say that, yeah, I did feel a little bit depressed during that time, far from God. Okay, another time that I can relate to during spiritual depression was maybe during COVID, where we weren't able to meet in person. Now, I think my experience of COVID was a little bit different. When COVID happened, my second son was born. So I was the day everything shut down was the day that my son was born. And so we were in the hospital and they're like, oh, by the way, no visitors. And I was like, okay, all right. So I think that time, yeah, I was maybe felt a little bit further from God, but maybe not so much because I was more concerned like, okay, I gotta take care of this baby. So it's not like I was gonna go to church anyways, right? You normally take a little bit of time just to get settled in at home and make sure the baby's okay. But as COVID went on and as me and Jess settled in with having two kids, I would say, yeah, it started feeling a bit weird. I don't know if I would say that's truly spiritual depression, but I would say that was definitely a moment in my life that I would say felt a little bit further from God. This is the concrete example that I want to give you. Okay, the time where I did actually feel far from God was when I was a young adult. I was working for the first time, and my first job was as a nurse. But the thing about my first job is that I worked the night shift, and you know, as a nurse, sometimes you have to work the weekends. And so everything from working night shift to skipping church on the weekends, and also just kind of feeling overwhelmed with adjusting to a new work life and learning the ropes as a new nurse, that was pretty overwhelming for me. In one sense, it was a little bit harder than school because, you know, in school, they're kind of holding your hand through it all. But then when you start actually working at the hospital, it's like, okay, well, they're going to train you for a little bit, but if you don't get it, like, you're in trouble, man. You know, like, you're going to have to find another job. And that was a little bit stressful for me. And so I think all of those things combined did give me a sense of spiritual depression, I think. I did feel far from God. Now, you can say that, like, oh, well, Aaron, you were, like, you know, working night shift. And that probably contributed to your low mood, right? Because it's like not sleeping enough, like living like a vampire, right? Like the night shift hours are 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., right? So it's like, okay, like you're a zombie, right? And you go home and you just want to sleep, you know, the world's going on. So, I mean, that's kind of like self-inflicted. And you can say, yeah, that's true. It is self-inflicted. And you can say, well, Aaron, like that's your own fault, right? Like, why'd you become a nurse if you knew that that was part of the deal? And you can say, yeah, that's true, right? I could have done a different career, absolutely. But you know, I actually believe that so much in the sovereignty of God that, well, that's what God led me to do. So I don't know, it's kind of like backwards to say that's my own fault, where it's like, no, God provides for people. He gives people jobs. And I do believe that healthcare is a blessing, and unfortunately healthcare is a 24-hour type of career. And so I don't look down or shame anybody that does that type of stuff, because it's very important, you know? Yes, we value spiritual life, absolutely. But we also value physical life here too, right? We do think that life is important. And so I can't shame or talk bad about the healthcare career and what it might have possibly contributed to that, because no, we need that. We need that, absolutely. But that doesn't necessarily mean that what I was feeling during that time, that I was truly helpless there. I don't think so. And so let me show you God's word. So if you ever find yourself in a situation like mine, or maybe a situation that's not like self-inflicted, right? Maybe it truly is spiritual depression, where maybe God brings something to your life where you feel far from him. Maybe it could be like a death in the family. Okay, maybe it could be something shocking that happens to you, like a loss of a job, or maybe not even getting to the college you want. Okay, I think those are legitimate concerns that people can have that can make them feel far from God, because you can feel like, well, does God actually care for me? You know, you get in a car accident, you feel shocked. You're like, what happened here? I thought, God, you loved me. It's easy to feel far from God from that. Now, those are experiential, but those are still legitimate feelings that you have. Okay, so I'm not saying that feelings about feeling far from God are wrong. What I'm saying is that, well, maybe how do we combat those feelings, right? Because at the end of the day, those are feelings. What is the truth? What does God's word say? When you feel that God doesn't love you, or that you're far from God, is that really true? I don't know. So let's see here, okay? And, you know, to make it about me again, I can say, well, as I was working, you know, night shift, maybe feeling far from God, was I really far from God during that time? Were there things that I could have done to make me feel closer to God? Let's see what the Bible says. Okay, now the psalm that we're going to look at is Psalm 42. I told you that this is going to be a bigger chunk of scripture today, and we will talk in groups today. Okay, so I do have that prepared for you, but let's look at what the Bible says about how we can combat spiritual depression. And so what I'm going to give you here are... What I call this? Okay, four ways to find strength in spiritual depression. That's what I'm titling this little lesson. Okay, four ways to find strength in spiritual depression. Let's read the verse. This part of the verse, this first part, will set up the context. Okay, look. Psalm 42, 1-3, famous. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? So you have the psalmist here talking about how he longs for, how he pants for God, how he wants God, yet he feels far from God, right? When can I go and meet with you? And then you see this depression aspect. My tears have been my food day and night. Okay, he's eating his tears. He's drowning in his tears. Very emo, right? While people say to me all day long, where's your God? Right, mockingly. Where's your God? Why? What happened to you? Why did God just leave you out here in the cold? Okay, so this is a case of what I would consider to be spiritual depression. Let's see how we can find strength in spiritual depression. The first way that you can find strength is with praise and worship with God's people. Praise and worship with God's people. Now read this. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts of songs and praise, a multitude keeping festival. So the author of the song writes about remembering how he would worship with God's people and how that was a good time in his life. Right? How that brought him joy. But here, okay, the way that you apply this is that you say, well, if he wasn't able to go and that's what brought him joy and that's what he wants, well, for us who are maybe experiencing some sort of spiritual depression, you don't waste what we have when we go and praise and worship with God's people. You need to go and meet with the church. It's very important. This isn't just like something that we do on the side, church. It's not a hobby. Okay, it's not like an extracurricular activity, like band, or like sports, or music. No, meeting with God's people is an important, crucial part of our spiritual life. We need each other, so that way, when we are spiritually depressed, we can come alongside each other, not neglecting to meet with each other. Here's another way to find strength in spiritual depression. You preach to yourself and hope in God. So the psalmist continues, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. So here you see the psalmist saying, hey, I'm going to hope in God and I'm going to tell myself, hey, soul, why are you feeling this way? Put your hope in God. There will come a day when you will praise him again, where you will feel like you are closer to him. God is your salvation, and he is not just any God, but he is my God. There's a personal aspect there, okay? So you can see how when you preach to yourself, you have to talk to yourself. In a way, it is sort of like self-talk, okay? But it's like self-talk that's grounded in scripture. You preach to yourself. Next, here's the third way. You proclaim God's providence and presence in your life. The psalmist continues, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Okay, these mountains, okay, these places, these are places that are far from the temple. And so this psalm, the psalmist is saying that even when he is physically far from God, he can still remember God. Even though he's physically far away from the temple, he can still tell himself that God has put him in these places. That's God's providence. And even though he's far from God, God is still with him. Not only that, but look, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. So the psalmist does acknowledge that, hey, I feel far away from God. I feel that I'm getting pummeled by these waves. But these are not just random waves that come at me from life. These are waves that are from God. They're his waves that he's bringing upon me. And so even when you feel far away from God, you feel that, oh, you're stuck in some sort of weird situation, you can still acknowledge that that situation is brought to you by God. For the Christian, we see God's presence everywhere. Finally, you pray to God and remember his love. Okay, so this is the fourth way you find spiritual strength when you feel far away from God. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? And so you see the psalmist is now praying to God, okay? A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, why have you forgotten me? And so even though you feel certain ways, you don't have to hold that into yourself. You can direct that to God, ask him in prayer humbly, and you can still commune with God in that way. Just because you feel far from God, it doesn't mean you have to stop talking to him, right? Let's pretend that you haven't talked to a friend in a really, really long time. Well, in reality, nothing's really preventing you from just texting or calling the phone. That's your choice not to communicate, right? And so with God and with us, there is a choice that you have to make. You can come to God in prayer, even though you feel far away from him. And then again, this is a psalm, right? So it repeats itself. Preach to yourself and hope in God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Spiritual depression, if you really are a Christian, there's always hope. You can always find ways to get back to God. Okay, this is the big idea. Christians can find strength in spiritual depression by praising and worshiping with God's people, by preaching to yourself and hoping in God, by proclaiming God's providence and his presence, and by praying to God and remembering his love. Now, there are situations where sin will make you feel far from God. And I think that's a good thing, okay? Let me tell you why that's a good thing. Sin is not a good thing, but the fact that it makes you feel far from God, that's a good thing. Because it will cause you, if you really are a Christian, to feel that guilt and shame, and that should cause you to want to come back to God, okay? It shouldn't cause you to hide away. You might feel that way, but if you can acknowledge that, like, you have sin in your life, and you can find a way to preach to yourself and to stay hopeful in God, that should draw you back to him. God will not let you go, even though you sin, if you really are a Christian. You don't have to shy away from him, right? God is more than willing to welcome you back if you truly repent and confess and come to him with a broken and contrite heart. I just want to put that as a little disclaimer. And maybe here's a verse that will kind of tie it all together. Now, I just showed you Psalm 42, right? This is Psalm 43. So this song, it's kind of like actually like a two-parter. And so this is Psalm 43. Look at this. Send out your light and your truth. And what's God's light and truth? His word, right? Jesus, scripture, we could say. Send out your light and truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to my God, my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. And so even in the next part, in another psalm, the next psalm, he says, hey, God's word will lead me back to him. It's not even like out of your own strength or your own effort that you gotta like climb out of the pit of your depression. No. If you have God's word, which we do, and we study it, right? We know the meaning of the text. It will lead us back to God. I really do believe this. We are never without hope. We always will have God's word. And if you hide God's word in your heart, you don't even need the physical book. But God will speak to you. I want to tell you that even though I felt maybe that season of spiritual depression in my life, I don't think that I was defeated. And I think that's by the grace of God that I was able to kind of know what to do in that situation when I was like working nights and everything. One thing that I did was that when I could come to church, then I did. Okay, I did not like cut corners on that. I made sure that I came to church. So even on some Sundays, if work was easy the night before, I would still try to come on Sundays. So if I worked Saturday night, I would like come to church on Sunday morning. And that's like extreme. I wouldn't like do that all the time. But if work was easy and maybe I was off on that Sunday, then I would still try to come to church. And it's important to be with God's people. Another thing that I would do is that on Friday nights, after Unicoi, after I would serve in Unicoi, then I would make a point to hang out with my other counselors. I wasn't married at that point.
And so I would, you know, hang out with my other counselors. We would stay out late and sometimes sleep over at each other's houses. Another thing that I did is that I made sure that my devotional life did not suffer. You know, I actually think that there was a point in time where I realized that, like, okay, like, because I'm working at night and during the daytime everybody's busy, but that's like my time, like, off into myself, I could actually, like, focus and do Bible study that time. So I tried to, like, you know, make that more devotional time, like, personal for me, you know, and just kind of section off that amount of time. I don't know if that was like a solution to my spiritual depression or however you want to call it, but I would say that I'm still Christian today. You know, I'm thankful for the grace of God that has kept me a Christian. I think it's easy to get into the working world and start working, and then that becomes your life and that consumes you, you know. But I am grateful to God that he kept me during that time. And I'm thankful to God that I don't have to do that anymore. You know, that was truly a season in my life. I don't work nights anymore. I don't have to work on the weekends anymore. I can spend time being here with you guys. You know, I think as you grow older, there will be seasons in your life where you might feel far from God. I think it could be things like moving away to college, and feeling that you're far from church or from home. I think it's important to find a fellowship group out there. I think if you're ever in a relationship and you break up, I think it might be a way that you feel far from God, because you're going to feel like, okay, you know, you thought that you were going to be with this person, or you know, you thought that they liked you, but then it didn't work out. So that can make you feel like, oh God, what happened here? If you find yourself in sin, not saying that you will, but I'm just saying, like, college, right? If you find yourself in sin, yeah, you're going to feel far from God. And I pray that that pushes you, you know, to go back to him, you know, that feelings that you want to go back to him. Definitely graduating from college and starting working, like what I experienced, right? You might feel far from God. Honestly, even like just the daily grind of having kids and having to deal with the kids and providing for a family and just adulting in general, it can make you feel far from God too, because then, you know, you start just kind of worrying about worldly things. If I can give you the gospel today, okay, if you just allow me to do that, the truth of the gospel is that we don't have to ever, like, truly think that we're far from God, because if you do believe in Jesus, he's the one that experienced true farness from God, right? When Jesus was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me, right? I don't think that was poetic. He was quoting a psalm for sure, but he really did, like, experience being far from God, right, during that time, because he bore our sin and he bore God's punishment. So for the Christian, if you have Jesus, you can trust that Jesus has truly done that for you. And you can always reach out to Jesus and Jesus will pull you back.